Let's turn back in God's Word to Isaiah chapter 51. With God's help this evening, we'll consider the first three verses of that chapter. Let's read them again. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her like her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. In days like today, where there's so much discouragement, and so many things are going wrong, it's always good to stop and think about these parts of God's Word, where the Lord comes to comfort us, His people. One of the blessings of being a missionary in the church is that you get to go to many congregations and to see many of the saints in many places. But the sad thing is, so often when you do this in these days, you meet with people who are discouraged about what they see. We look outside the church and we see the culture going down. We look in the church and many are discouraged and don't see a way forward. And at times like this, it's good to stop and go to the parts of God's Word where He reminds us of His precious promises, where He tells us to listen, to look, and to take heart. And that's what we're going to look at in these verses tonight. Verses 1 to 3 of Isaiah chapter 51, where we're told to listen and look for the Lord's comfort to the converted. We find here hope and encouragement in difficult days. And there are three things we're going to look at with God's help. First is, listen to the Lord. Second is, look back to find hope. And third is, look forward with hope. These three things with God's help. The first thing you see, and it should jump out at you in this chapter, is that we need to listen to God. Three times it says here, first in verse 1, then in verse 4, and then down in verse 7, hearken unto me! You hear the Lord crying out and saying, stop! Listen to me! You know, one of the biggest problems we have today is that there's too much noise in our world. Those of you who are older will remember days when the news cycle was not 24/7. When you would go and find a newspaper, and that would be the cutting-edge news. But now we live in a day where television is everywhere. The internet comes in. People are hearing things from all over the world. We get news of bus accidents in France. We get news of happenings in the Middle East. Whereas in the past, it might have taken months to hear about these things. Wars would take place and you'd only hear after they were finished. Today we live in a day where it's easy to have constant communication. Even if you don't get on the internet and don't get on television, you have the phone, You have people around. It's so easy to be hearing all this kind of noise and busyness that goes on around. That's especially true when you look at the young people. They get distracted by every little trivial matter. Now the problem is, in all this noise, you don't hear a positive message. The overwhelming noise from the world communicates that God is a lie from the past, that we've outgrown that. We're no longer children. We're a mature culture that knows that God is a figment of foolish man's imagination from bygone days where people didn't know what we know. They look back and say, those were naive simpletons. If they knew the things we knew, they would never have listened to these fairy tales that they used to listen to. They look at you and say, you are bad people. You're bigoted people. You hate that which is good and you love things which are unkind and cruel. That's the noise that we get from the world. They tell us that God's holy word is rubbish, that evolution is true, and that all of the truths that we believe are just relative in a sea of nothingness. Today, Satan's lies are trumpeted on every street corner. They stand out all the time. The radio tells us lies. The television tells us lies. The people around us follow Satan's way of thinking and speaking. We live in a society where most of what goes on around us is not good, but evil. And in a day like that, we need to listen to God. We need to stop and read the Word and hear what our God has to say. Now that's true of everybody. But here we see a direct call. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. It's echoed down in verse 4. Hearken unto me, my people. In verse 7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. All three of these go together, and we could look at all if we had the time. But what you can see is this is directly talking to God's redeemed people. It's talking to those who are converted, to those who are trusting in the Lord. It's talking to us. And the Lord says, especially to you, in the midst of all the noisiness of the world, you need to stop and listen. And it's very important that we never forget this. The world gets ever louder in its mocking, scorning, rejecting, attacking, deriding of the things that the Lord says. And in a day like that, we need to remember to tune out the foolishness of the world and listen to the Lord. If we don't, do you know what's going to happen? We're going to get discouraged, depressed. We can start doubting. We can start wondering. We'll be filled with questions. Because if you do nothing but listen to Satan all day long, what's going to happen? It's going to start to chip away at the foundation. So it's important to listen to what God says. Important that you make sure you spend your time listening to the Lord. Which is why we're told not to stop gathering together. We're told that we need to talk to each other, to encourage each other and build each other up, to point one another to the Word, because we must continually be listening to the Lord. And all the much more in a day like today, when all the noise we get out there is rubbish. We need to stop and listen. So we're listening. That's why we're here. And we should thank the Lord for drawing us into His house, continually bringing us in so that we can worship Him and listen to His word preached. We should thank the Lord for what He has done in our lives. But what does He say? Well, He says, "Listen to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look to the rock whence ye are hewn, to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, unto Sarah that bare ye. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." Here we find the second thing we need to do. As we listen, the Lord says, look back so that you can find hope. He tells us to look into the past. Now, He tells us to look to Abraham, but before that, He gives us this interesting picture, to look to the rock and to the hole of the pit. And you could probably best translate that to be a quarry. It's kind of saying that you need to look back to the rock and the place where that rock was found, which is a picturesque way of saying, look back to your origins, where you came from. It's like you're a house, go back to the quarry that the rocks were dug out of to find where you came from. And then He tells us where that is, to Abraham and to Sarah. Now, for the Jews to whom this was written, this is quite clear. They're to look back to where they came from. Abraham was their father according to the flesh. But you sit here. You can do that just as well. You know what the scripture says. Abraham is the father of the faithful, of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you sit here trusting in the Lord, you can do this just as well as they. Look back to your spiritual father as they looked back to their physical ancestor. Why? Why does the Lord want us to do this? Well, He says, I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him. He's saying, remember what I did with Abraham. And you know the story of Abraham well. Here he is in Ur of the Chaldees, far away in a pagan culture. And God came to him and spoke to him and gave him great promises. Then he moves with his father and they go part way. And then after his father's dead, they go the whole way. And as he goes, the Lord increases his wealth more and more. The Bible doesn't tell us how much Abraham had when he started, but we know that when he's coming up out of Egypt, he is exceedingly rich. And what you can see is that God took a man and his wife out of a faraway land and said, go where I tell you to go, and I'm going to bless you. And you see that as he goes, the Lord just keeps on adding and adding and adding to his wealth. So that by the time he dies, he is immensely rich. But you know the other thing he does. He withholds an heir. The Lord promises that in Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. But he doesn't even have one child. And then when he is way beyond childbearing years, Sarah has no chance of bearing a child, the Lord God comes and says, now it's time. And he gives him one son. You know that he has Ishmael, and you know that after Sarah dies, that he has other children. But the Lord says, no, none of them, this one child. And then from that one child, there are two, but one is cast off and one is chosen. And from there, the Lord explodes the population of Israel And there are millions upon millions that come from this one man with one child. What do you see in Abraham? You see a man who starts it small, becomes immensely rich, who starts with no heir, and then by God's miraculous intervention has a child, and in that child he gets millions upon millions, and by faith billions upon billions of descendants. What's the point? Abraham was small. He was nothing. He was hopeless. He had no chance of having a child at all. Even if you brought Abraham into this day, with all of the advances of modern medicine, there is no way at that age they would have had a child together. And yet God does. What is God showing us? Why should we look at this? It's because he promises he's going to do it again. And that's the main thing we need to look at here. We see that we need to listen. We see that we need to look back. But we need to look forward with hope. Look at verse 3, which is our third point. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Now, as we look at this, it's good to remember the context. If you know Isaiah, here he is. He's talking about what's going to happen. Isaiah promises through the Lord's prophecy that Israel's going away into captivity. And here he's speaking to those who are cast off in Babylon and saying to them by the mouth of the Lord, this is not forever. Here he's speaking about the days where Babylon's come in, the people are taken away into captivity, the Lord is making the whole land desolate and empty. And he's saying, look on the desolation and see. You see this? This is what I'm going to do. It's empty, it's waste. One day, it's going to be like the Garden of Eden. One day, this emptiness is going to be full of singing and praising, joy and gladness in the Lord. It's a stunning picture. The ruins of Jerusalem, the desolation of Judah, the villages burned with fire, turned into paradise. It's going from weeping and wailing, despair, to mirth and gladness and joy, praising the Lord for all of his wonderful works. Back on Monday, as I was coming back from Brora, we drove over the top part of the land. And if you've been through there and you look at these empty houses, you can go back onto roads and you can go to whole villages. There's nothing there. You know how long ago this took place as the lands were cleared. Now, if you go there, what do you see? Desolation. It would be as if the Lord says, go into that village. One day, not only is it going to be like it used to be, but it's going to be paradise. They're going to be filled with people everywhere. They're going to be singing and dancing and praising the Lord everywhere they go for all of his amazing works in that place. That's the picture the Lord gives. A land that's been destroyed and emptied will be filled again and far better than it was before. That message came to them in the days when Jeremiah would have been writing the book of Lamentations, when the Psalms would have been written about being in Babylon, hanging their harps on the willow trees, saying, how can we sing the Lord's songs when we are in this pagan land? What does the Lord say in the midst of their grief? Listen! Look back and remember what I did to Abraham. He was in a hopeless condition. There was no way he could have a child. And look what I did. I blessed him when there was an impossible situation. In Babylon, it was the same. No nation ever comes back out of captivity. And yet the Lord makes other promises, I'll bring you back. And here he's saying, I will bless and make it better than it's ever been before. And so he says, look back and be comforted, because I will bless. So what about us? Where are we? We, as it were, are spiritually being cast out of our land. This island that once knew so much blessing for such a long time, even here you see it more and more. Wickedness comes in like a flood. We become rejected, despised. In the midst of despair, we need to take heart. What should we do when we are cast down, when our spirit is restless within us, when we wonder what is happening? We need to cling to these promises. Cling in hope. But we need to be careful with them. You know, when you look at things like this, first of all, it is talking about how the Lord would return the captives. He would cause there to be this most miraculous of occurrences where the scattered people of God are brought into the land. We know also that this is talking, looking forward as we look down in other parts of this chapter, to the way that the Lord is going to gather in a multitude of souls from all over the earth. We can look and see in these sections where the Lord is giving us clues to the return of His covenant people even in times to come. And even more, we can look forward and see the eternal promises that one day Christ is coming back, and then Eden will only be a faint shadow of the eternal joy and blessing of being with the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on these things in days like today, to keep our eyes on the big picture of what God is doing. Remembering that people have been in much worse conditions than we. And even today, so many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord are suffering intense persecution. Each one of us has to look at these things and remember what God says. I will comfort you. I will bless you. Now, this isn't intended just to say, okay, be discouraged now because there's hope in the future. It's saying, keep your eyes in the right place so that you can come through the deep, difficult darkness of our present age. Now, how does this comfort us? Well, you think about it. This does not say to the people in Lewis, in 2015, look, I'm going to turn Lewis into the Garden of Eden in 2016. Now that could be. You never know with our God. He can do that. but it doesn't give dates and promises that apply to us here and now. So how does it comfort us? It tells us that all is not lost. The Lord will comfort. He will bring blessing. And it could come today. It could come in the future, but it will come most certainly. The Lord will bless, and we know He will bless in eternity. So what do we do with this? When we hear this, first, we take comfort. We should listen to the Lord, hear what He says, and if we're listening with a true spirit, it should lift up our hearts. Because when the Lord says comfort, it should comfort us. And so we should listen with a heart from the Lord to be encouraged when He says, I will comfort you. But we also need to respond. We need to respond in prayer and supplication. We should ask the Lord to remember His promises. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says through His apostles? He says, why don't you have? Well, sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. Or as James says, because we ask for the wrong reasons, to use it on our own lusts, for the wrong things. So often we don't have the comfort and blessing because we have never asked for it. And when we have asked, we've asked in the wrong way. Because we've not come with boldness before the throne of grace, pleading with the Lord to comfort His people and to turn back the desolations. How many of us pray like Knox? You know his famous prayer. A prayer that's echoed through ages, that's still not forgotten today. Give me Scotland, lest I die. Now, was that an arrogant prayer? Was it a presumptuous prayer? Well, it clearly wasn't. The Lord heard that prayer because there was a man who looked at God's promises, who pled with the Lord on behalf of his own nation, begging the Lord with passion in his heart for the honor and majesty of Jesus Christ. He came with strong cries and tears, and like his master before him, he was heard in that he was fearing the Lord. Do we come hearing these things and saying, Lord, you say you're going to comfort Zion. You're going to comfort her waste places. You're going to make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the Lord's garden. There's going to be joy and gladness. Thanksgiving, the voice of joy and melody. Oh Lord, when will this be again? When will you bring this here in our islands? Do we plead like the people of Nineveh? The Lord says, 40 days I'm going to destroy this city. What do they say? Who can tell? He's given us 40 days. And they cry out to God. This was the people of Nineveh, wicked, pagan people. And yet they turned with the whole heart to the Lord. The Lord heard, and instead of destroying that vile, wicked nation, He turned back. Do we pray like the Syrophoenician woman, pleading on behalf of her child? The Lord says, I'm come to the children of Israel, not to you. She says, I'm a dog, but give me the crumbs. Brothers and sisters, when we hear things like this, we should take comfort, but we should also turn again and speak to the Lord. We need to plead with Him, remembering these promises, because He makes this not to a particular people, but to all of us. What does he say? Listen, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. I tell you the truth, if you are a believer, you're someone who follows righteousness. Having been born again from the dead, you have been put into the path of life. Your desire is to seek the Lord. This speaks to you as a people. The Lord says to you, listen to me, look back and remember what I've done, and take heart, because I will again work. Now, we cannot come to the Lord and say, Lord, you've absolutely promised to bless us here and now. But you can come correctly and rightly before the Lord and say, look, Lord, you tell us to remember Abraham. You tell us what you're going to do. Lord, bless your people again today. Turn back again. Remember us. And plead with him. Lord, we're desolate. Our pews are empty. We're old. How few are young among us? Our nation is going away. Lord, we're full of grief. Comfort your people. Turn back to us again. Remember what you did to Abraham. Look on us. We're in the same situation. Can we call on the covenant promises? We have so few children in our church. They're not going to repopulate our church. Lord, we're dying off year by year. They're fewer and fewer. Pity us, O Lord. Comfort us. Cause us again to return. Bless us, O Lord, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we should turn to passages like this and say, as we could if we looked at the following verses, Lord, you say you're going to make your judgments as a light to the people. Make them a light to the people here again. Brothers and sisters, pray to the Lord. Plead with him. Beg him that in a day like this, when wickedness comes in like a flood, when we're full of grief, say, Lord, remember what you did to Abraham. And for your own name's sake, O Lord, do it to us again here. That the nation that mocks your holy name may be put to silence, seeing the amazing grace, the amazing power of Christ to save souls. Brothers and sisters, listen to the Lord. Look back. Be comforted. And cling to those promises. Cling in hope, knowing that our God, the living and true God, will again return and bless this earth. He will send forth his gospel. And places like this, which seem such a howling wilderness spiritually, will again be like the Garden of Eden. Whether it be in our lifetimes, or in our children's lifetimes, the Lord will bless again. Plead with him that he would, and take heart, because in his season, he will.